Welcome, everybody, to Redacted on this Wednesday. So glad to have you all here. We've got a very busy show for you today because we are going to do a deep dive today on Pizzagate, with the investigative journalist who broke the entire story wide open. She was the original. Liz Crokin is going to be joining us because these revelations in the Epstein documents, the 3 million of them, confirm almost all of her reporting when she was called a conspiracy theorist and a nut job, right?
Right. So a lot of us didn't really understand it. We're seeing it now in plain black and white writing in the Epstein files. And then we're like, wait, that was real? So we're going to rewind the clock so that we figure out what were we distracted to not see? What can we now prove is true? How did this narrative shift happen? These are major questions. And I think the fact that, you know, we sort of saw it as one crazy thing, and then now we need to go back and say, okay, what didn't we see? What can we learn from this too? What can we not be distracted from next time, right?
Right.
All of these are valid questions. So I'm looking forward to asking them.
Yeah. So Liz is going to join us here in moments. So thank you. Get in your questions. Anything you guys have here on in the chat room, we're going to be talking with Liz in a moment. Very excited about that. But first, I want to tell you about our friends over at Van Man, because you know that chemical cocktail that you're putting in your mouth every day, the toothpaste that you're putting in your mouth every day? Big Toothpaste has been selling you the same toxic formula for decades. The Van Man company is changing that with their Miracle Tooth Powder, and people are ditching traditional toothpaste by the thousands. Van Man's tooth powder uses real grass-fed cattle bone hydroxypapatite and the same mineral structure as your actual teeth to remineralize and strengthen enamel naturally. So zero fluoride, zero SLS, zero foaming agents. It's completely edible because anything you put in your mouth should be. So you won't wake up with that gross film in your mouth because there's no foaming agents destroying your natural saliva production. So make sure to switch to real oral care. Go to vanman.shop/redactednews. And use the code redactednews for 15% off of your first order. That's vanman.shop/redactednews. And use the code redactednews for 15% off your first order. Van Man is real ingredients, no exceptions.
We also want to tell you about Shopify because, hey, if your New Year's resolution is to launch your online store or grow your online store, then you need to check out the offerings at Shopify. What you're seeing there is the Redacted store, which runs on Shopify. You know that because of that purple Shop Pay button. Anytime you see that on the web, on any online store, you know that that store is run by Shopify. So many big businesses are because it's easy. They have round-the-clock customer support, and they can support you with making a beautiful online store so it doesn't look like it was launched in the late 90s. It looks very beautiful, very today. They have a lot of intuitive tools that will help you launch to the world. You can get started by going to shopify.com/redacted and sign up for a 1 month trial period. They have everything you need to grow your business and make it beautiful. That's why not only do they sponsor Redacted, we are customers as well of Shopify and happy to do so. They handle everything from front end to back end. Order fulfillment, payment accepting, all of that stuff. So see for yourself. Head on over to shopify.com/redacted. One more time, that's shopify.com/redacted.
Well, the mainstream media called the Pizzagate story a fake story. Of course, nothing to see here. Of course, elites aren't sexually abusing young children. Of course, they couldn't be. That captivated journalist, as they say, as PBS News called it, it was the thrill of the chase for journalists perpetuating fake news. This all started after WikiLeaks published thousands upon thousands of emails from then Clinton and Obama official John Podesta. And inside those emails were many references to pizza parties, all sorts of weird, potentially, coded words. And it struck one reporter as bizarre, as if the term pizza was code for something very dark, something related to pedophilia, perhaps. After all, John Podesta swims in creepy circles, to be sure. His brother Tony, for instance, seems to really love creepy child abuse artwork hung right in his house. Here's just a few examples of that. Our next guest, Liz Crokin, is the first journalist to actually connect the dots in all of this, putting all of this together. She saw patterns where Hollywood elites and politicians were openly communicating about child sacrifice, sex trafficking rituals, pedophilia, joking about it in emails, and yes, pizza, of course. Here's one example. Chrissy Teigen, married to John Legend. Here's just one example. Johnny and I are on our way to the Hollydale. Karina Belanoff is serving a nice 4-year-old cheese pizza with adrenochrome. Okay. Who would ever think to post something?
Why would you joke about that?
But that's not the only time she joked about that. Here's a few more examples over the years. I'm 1,000,000% going to be a child from Toddlers and Tiaras for Halloween. Can we fast forward time, please? I'm beyond excited. I'm going to jail over pizza, she says. I woke up this morning with a pizza on my chest and ranch dressing all over me. So if you think I'm too good for this, you are sadly mistaken. It's actually so ridiculous that most of the plane just laughs hysterically when someone just comes on with pizza. Then at the bottom, accidentally went to the children's aquarium looking pretty pedo bearish, cruising the parking lot. Are we joking about being a pedophile star? I mean, it's so bizarre. Then the lower right, seeing little girls do the splits half naked is just, I just want to put myself in jail. Toddlers and Tiaras. So journalist Liz Croken took them to task, specifically Chrissy Teigen and John Legend had something to say about that. You need to take my family's name out of your mouth before you get sued, John Legend wrote to her, you know, initial tweet. Chrissy, you run in circles with people who rape, torture, and traffic kids. This is a fact. I expose sex trafficking for a living. Liz is an investigative journalist who first broke the Pizzagate story wide open from the 2016 WikiLeaks emails. And we have to give credit where credit is due. Liz, welcome to the show. Great to see you.
Hi, guys. Thank you so much for having me on. I got to give some context, though, to the Chrissy Teigen feud.
Yeah.
Yeah, please.
Okay, I'm going to start by saying that you posted some of her abhorrent emails where she's clearly promoting pedophilia, but I just want your audience to understand those are just some. She had to delete tens of thousands of tweets going back decades after we got into this Twitter feud. So that's number one. And then number two, the tweet where John Legend threatened to sue me, in that the tweet that I wrote, so he was quote tweeting me, you know, I said, you run in circles with people who rape, torture, and traffic children. Okay. So in that tweet, you can't see it because this is, you know, years back and before X or when X was Twitter, but I actually had posted 4 pictures of her with different known sexual predators and or pedophiles. And one of them would have been Harvey Weinstein. And another one was someone that, John Legend and Chrissy Teigen did some kind of philanthropic event with, who actually had been charged and convicted of sex trafficking. So there is more context to that tweet, and everything that I said about them was 100% factual. So they did get into a huge Twitter feud with me for pointing out that Chrissy Teigen not only promotes pedophilia on her social media pages, and not just Twitter, by the way, it was Instagram too, but she was also promoting pedophile code words, including known pedophile code words or symbols that have been identified by the FBI. So everything I wrote about Chrissy Teigen was 100% accurate. And then she fired back, you know, days after I had tweeted about her, just kind of out of the blue. It felt like a very coordinated attack. And the next thing I know, I have her attacking me, millions of her followers attacking me. The Church of Satan defended her honor. Hooters and Chelsea Clinton. I'm actually not kidding. When we got this Twitter feud, like of the verified people that were defending her, it was the Church of Satan, Hooters, and Chelsea Clinton, like Satan's spa. It's like, you can't make this up. I'm like, wow. You guys are really helping her case here by coming out. And then, you know, and then, of course, John Legend threatened to sue me. This was in 2017. Still waiting for the lawsuit. I've actually begged them over the years, please sue me. Like, discovery would be wonderful. If you're only willing to promote pedophilia on your Twitter page, then imagine, you know, what she's doing behind closed doors. And of course, it was just an empty threat. But the media ran.
It's worth mentioning, truth is an absolute defense. So what you are saying here is you are associated with known sexual predators and you have proof, and you're saying that you are promoting pedophilia on your own social media, and that is undeniable based on just the snapshot we just showed. So none of this is conjecture. We are going to get into how you decoded Pizzagate into something which at the time was conjecture and no longer is. But what you're saying here is provable. There's no suit here because truth is an absolute defense.
Well, that's why they didn't scare me. And, you know, what these powerful people do is they use all different kinds of intimidation tactics to silence you. Sometimes they kill you. And, you know, it doesn't work for me. For me, it just pissed me off even more. And I doubled down on them. And so, but traditionally with a lot of people, these intimidation tactics work. But you're absolutely right. The media also, when they were recovering our Twitter feud, including the Today Show, they took it further to slander me in the Today Show, said I'm a self-described journalist. Well, no, actually, I had been working in the mainstream media for 2 decades, and I have a journalism degree, and that had been well documented, you know, all over the internet, including on my Twitter page. And so the Today Show chose to misguide their audience and make it seem like I'm just this random person that woke up one day and decided that I'm going to be a journalist.
And as if NBC News, which is an extension of the CIA, Ken Delaney and these people that get handed information directly from the intelligence state, they are journalists. Give me a break. Give me a break. I can't even with that.
Right. What distinguishes you from them? I too have worked in the mainstream media. I guess that gives, because I've been ordained at one point by them, then I get that title. But if I had otherwise not, you know, they don't have any other extra credentials than we do from a journalism degree. So middle finger.
Yeah, well, the only difference is that they're propagandists, and I tell the truth. I get the memo that you're not allowed to be a journalist unless you know, push the deep state talking points and protect pedophiles. Right. But they made it clearly after I started covering Pizzagate and went after me, and I lost all my jobs.
But if I may, Pizzagate is an epithet for someone who's crazy. That has how they framed it in order to discredit anybody with the same way they use the term far left and things like that. But maybe you can tell us, let's go back a little bit further. How did you decode Pizzagate from the beginning, from the WikiLeaks debacle?
Okay, so what happened is, so in 2016, like we were talking earlier, how WikiLeaks released a bunch of emails exposing the Democrats, right? And before October, I believe they started releasing the DNC emails, and those weren't as salacious. Like, those emails exposed corruption, but it was things like Donna Brazile giving Hillary Clinton a campaign question, you know, before a debate or a town hall. Fast forward to October, and that's when we got the October surprise from WikiLeaks, which was run by Julian Assange, and he released the Podesta emails. And most of the damning emails proving that these people are involved in the rape, torture, and trafficking of children were in the Podesta emails. So when these emails started coming out in 2016, I was still working for the mainstream media. I was working for multiple publications, including the New York Observer and Town Hall. I had been covering the election for these outlets. And when the emails came out, I started reading them immediately. So I was reading them and then researching these emails in real time as they were coming out. And I started noticing that there were a ton of emails that use the word pizza and other food items in a context that clearly did not apply to food. Now, at the time in 2016, when I first started researching Pizzagate, and again, it was immediately after the Podesta emails came out, I found evidence online actually proving that Pizzagate is a known pedophile code word in pedophile circles. And there actually was, it was actually defined as a pedophile code word by the Urban Dictionary. And it was still up and active when the Podesta emails came out in 2016. But here's what gets interesting. So I'd be researching the Podesta emails and researching, like, you know, is pizza a pedophile code word? Like, you know, what's the definition, you know, the street definition or slang definitions of these words? And I would see, you know, the Urban Dictionary or other sites pop up explaining that it's a pedophile code word. And then I would check back a few hours later the next day and it'd be gone. It'd be gone. And so I watched in real time, you guys, how they would scrub evidence that pizza's a pedophile code word and other things.
And were you broadcasting at the time about this, or you were keeping this to yourself as you were doing the research? So they were seeing somebody logging onto the website and checking this stuff out, and then they were removing it?
Yeah, so I was I don't know if I was doing my YouTube videos yet, but I was tweeting and I was writing for those publications. But I actually was tweeting in real time a lot of the things I was finding.
Wow.
You know?
And they were starting to just scrub it. Who did you find out who was behind the Urban Dictionary? Like who funded it, ran it in your research?
Well, that specifically, that getting scrubbed. And by the way, I got a screenshot of it that I still have in one of my Substack articles. But so I managed to get screenshots of a lot of the stuff they were trying to scrub. But what we learned from the Epstein files that were released 2 Fridays ago is that Jeffrey Epstein was working with an agency, and he was paying an agency to remove stuff from the internet and scrub stuff from the internet.
Really?
And also flood the internet with positive articles about him. So this is like, this is not a secret. This is a known thing that they do. And I do believe that some of the things that got scrubbed, it'd be right after I tweeted about it. Like I'll give you another example. There was an obituary and some other stories, including in some mainstream media, about how John Podesta's mother had adopted, I believe it was 25 children. And that's just weird. Like who adopts 25 children? Yeah. What's going on here? And, you know, with all the red flags with John Podesta's emails and the pedophile codes in his emails. And so I tweeted about that. And next thing I know, like those sites are scrubbed. And so I watched this stuff happen in real time. And then fast forward again to 2 Fridays ago, we get it confirmed that Jeffrey Epstein was doing that. So if he was doing it, of course, his pals and associates were too. This is one of the techniques that they used to hide the truth from the public and to make it, to make people like me appear to be less believable. Because here's the thing, if they hadn't scrubbed evidence that pizza is a pedophile code word in 2016 from the internet, then people would have gone on the internet on their own and researched it, and it would have popped up and they would have said, hey, maybe Liz Crokin isn't so crazy. Instead, they would Google it and they would get no evidence of it.
It's the incuriosity just floors me. And I think I saw this, you know, during COVID, like there are some contraindications of taking this vaccine. Is the media interested? Not at all. Nope. Don't want to look there. This is just indicative of, hey, these are some concerning things. We're journalists. Don't we follow this? And the mainstream media is like, no, we actually don't.
No.
We don't do that. So what? I mean, how far did you have to go back to see that these code words were indicative of something? So this is not something that, you know, these nefarious circles made up. They were perpetuating it. I guess people who see this in Epstein think that they had just made it up, but that's not true. How far back does it go?
I think the Urban Dictionary entry is from 2010, but it's been used before then. Excuse me. They've been using pizza as a pedophile code word for a very long time, for several years. I think it goes back way beyond 2010. And it's my opinion that they chose the word pizza because pizza is something that children love. Pizza restaurants are where kids go to have birthday parties. You know, Chuck E. Cheese is like a pizza franchise where, you know, dedicated to kids. And so I think that that's why they chose pizza. I mean, I don't know who chose that word. And to some pedophiles, it has different meaning. To some, it's child porn. To others, it's just kids. But it is definitely a pedophile code word. And So what happened after 2016 is I was able to go through all these emails and find that, you know, Podesta and his pals were using pizza in a context that does not apply to food. So I'll give you an example. You know, Tony Podesta had one email where he emailed John and he said, I'm going to get pizza for an hour. And it's, how do you get pizza for an hour? You can get a service for an hour. You can get a child sex slave for an hour. You can't get pizza for an hour. It makes no sense, right? And then some people love to say, oh, it's drugs. Well, how do you get drugs for an hour? You know, like if you're going to get cocaine, like
you can't rent a consumable. Yeah.
You know, so that doesn't make sense either. There was other emails where it would be, there's one email where they talked about going to a pizza party, an adult pizza party, but there was a bunch of adults going to the adult pizza party, but they only had one slice and they needed to know how many adults were going to be attending. So they knew how thinly to slice it. And then in between these emails, you would see emails, for example, Tony Podesta, like I'm still, last night was fun. I'm still in the torture chamber. And then you look at other emails where they're not even talking about pizza, but they're talking about going to pool parties, adult pool parties, and having children there as entertainment. And then another red flag that is an indicator that these people are trafficking these kids is they list their ages. And so we see that in the Podesta emails as well, where there was one email in particular that was sent by Tamara Lozado. She was Hillary Clinton's chief of staff when she was a senator. And she sent an email to, I believe, John Podesta saying that she would be providing transportation for the children. And she listed their three names with their ages for their entertainment for a pool party. Well, so I would read an email like that. And it's like, okay, this is weird. Kids, entertainment, pool party, the ages listed. And that's what traffickers do. They will list the ages because the clients, the customers, they have preferences. So they want to know the ages of the children because they're purchasing them, right? And we saw that in the Epstein files as well with the new emails that were released two Fridays ago. So I'm looking at this email written by Tamara Lozado. She works for Hillary Clinton. She's emailing John Podesta. Then I start looking into her and I find out that she has a password protected website called Evie's Blog, where people can see infants, quote, raw and uncut. And there's all these pictures of children. And then on the right side of the website, there was all these tabs that were acronyms or they were just porn words. So they were the kind of words that you would see, you know, on a porn website, or you would see on just a blatant, you know, child porn website. Like I remember one of them was Baby Ambien and like just all kinds of crazy twisted stuff. And I have screenshots of all that stuff too and document that stuff. So when you take the known pedophile code words in the emails and then the other emails, like children's entertainment, they're listing the children's names. And then you find out that this woman that's emailing about the children for entertainment runs a website that literally has all the markers and all the hallmarks of a child porn site. Then you start to see the picture and becomes very clear that these people are involved in trafficking children.
So Podesta, Hillary Clinton, I mean, I keep hearing from my sources, I mean, just how Hillary Clinton is all tied into this. And she's, you know, seems to have skirted a lot of this by now. But and we're going to hear from her testimony, maybe, or maybe she'll plead the fifth. I don't know, with Bill Clinton at the end of the month here.
Right. My expectations are low for them to disclose. I mean, how easy is it to just say nothing to Congress? People do it all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, so, I mean, we'll see. As of right now, she's acting like she wants cameras in there and full transparency and just bizarre, and that she's going to talk. But, you know, I mean, have they ever told the truth about anything? No. So I doubt it, but it'll be interesting. We'll see.
So when you look at Podesta,
Can I chime in? Because I don't want to interrupt too much, but like I'm trying to wrap my head around this, because this is like, you know, at the time this was going on, I wasn't in journalism at all. So, you know, I wasn't involved with Redacted, you know, I was just a normal person working like a normal job, I guess. But why is it what I remember Pizzagate being is that there was a particular pizza place that the Clintons owned and there was like a child sex trafficking ring in the basement. Why is that? I know it's probably just unpacking the propaganda, but why is that the only image I have of this? Like none of this that you're saying now was ever like, I had no idea it had anything to do with the whole ring of people. And that's what it was like. How did they get it to, how did they get me to believe it was just a single pizza place in, I believe, like Washington, D.C., that the Clintons had something to do with? Like, how did we get there?
And then they could label you a conspiracy theorist because about that one particular pizza place. And then that's how the mainstream media spun it. Like, oh, there's nothing to see here. See, this is crazy, right? I mean, maybe you can unpack that. And then I want to get back to my Hillary Clinton question.
Sure. So I'll explain that. Okay, so the Podesta emails came out. People like me read them, researched them, and put the pieces together. And it was very clear for me quickly. I mean, it took like a couple hours of research, maybe not even that, to figure out these people are trafficking children. So what Pizzagate always was, the definition of Pizzagate is that in 2016, WikiLeaks released the Podesta emails, and they were littered with known pedophile code words, such as pizza and other code words. And it proved that John Podesta, Hillary Clinton, and their associates are involved in the rape, torture, and trafficking of children. That's it. That is the true definition of Pizzagate. And I've been saying this for 10 years. So what the media had to do the corrupt, compromised media had to do, because this story did start going viral in 2016 on social media. What the media had to do is they had to create a psyop to distract from what the true definition of Pizzagate was. So that's when they weaponized the mainstream media from every network, from MSNBC, CNN, Fox News, all the print publications. And they came up with a new definition of Pizzagate. And their new definition of Pizzagate is people like Liz Crokin are saying that Hillary Clinton is trafficking children in the basement of a pizza shop in D.C. And that's Pizzagate. And that was never true. That is never what Pizzagate was about.
Where did that story even come from? Was it totally manufactured?
The entire media just started going with it at the same time. And again, like everyone, every network from Fox News, like Daily Wire, CNN, and because they understood that if people understood the simple and real explanation of Pizzagate, which is the Podesta emails prove that they're trafficking kids because they're using known pedophile code words, that's it. They knew that if that definition got out to the masses, then they would probably figure it out. So they had to create a diversion, a new definition of it to make it sound so ridiculous. Like, oh yeah, Hillary Clinton's just sitting in a basement of a pizza shop trafficking kids.
Right.
So people wouldn't believe it. And then they took it a step further. You had people like Chris Cuomo go on CNN and say, hey, just so everybody knows, you know, the Podesta emails came out via WikiLeaks. And just so you know, it's illegal for you guys to read these emails. We can read them and we will report, you know, anything important that's in them, but you can't. So what? They had to scare and intimidate people from reading these emails because they understood that these emails were so damning and they can't be explained off. All the code words, all the pizza used in a context that doesn't apply to food cannot be explained off. So they had to scare people into thinking that they might get arrested if they read the Podesta emails, which is a complete and total lie. So they created a diversion. They created the psyop. They redefined Pizzagate into something it wasn't, making it sound ridiculous, making people think they're going to get arrested if they read the Podesta emails. And that's how they were able to cover it up for so long.
So if I may just circle back to something you said, that these are known code words. The FBI has known this for a long time. And that's not crazy. I mean, of course they need to, sort of decode code words for bad guys. That's what they're supposed to be doing. So you're saying this has been known for a long time. And that's shocking to me.
Yeah, so the code words have been known to the FBI and the DOJ for a very long time. And there's also symbols as well. There's actually also been multiple cases where law enforcement was able to arrest child sex predators because they used pizza as a pedophile code word. I think in 2017, there was a sexual predator named Steven Selimek who was arrested. Fast forward to, I believe it was 2024, there was a guy in College Station, Texas, that was attempting to prey on children and or had child porn. And they were able to bust him because he was using pizza as a pedophile code word. And the FBI, by the way, was involved in that case. And they actually documented on an FBI affidavit that he was using pizza as a pedophile code word. And the agent said that he had been trained and taught that pizza is a pedophile code word. I mean, you can go online right now. That is open source information. So it has been recognized as a pedophile code word by law enforcement for many years. And I'll take it one step further. Meta is currently in a lawsuit because pedophiles were, guess what, using pizza or the pizza emoji as pedophile code words to procure children on Instagram and or Facebook and to prey on children or exchange child porn. And that lawsuit is currently going on right now.
So it's a narrative substitution. It's like there's something to see here, but let's give you this. And then because you think that sounds so crazy, you know, you don't see what's true behind there, which is
exactly
there's a ton of facts there that's worth looking into. That's not shocking, but
it makes sense. Then the next thing that they did is then they used a patsy to shoot up. So the pizza parlor in D.C., Comet Ping Pong, in question, that guy that runs it, in my opinion, he's totally a pedophile. His entire Instagram page was just littered with not even pedophile code words, like known pedophile slang. For example, he would write things like chicken lover with pictures of, you know, grown men with infants or toddlers. Chicken lovers, again, not a pedophile code word. That's a known pedophile slang that means a gay man that is sexually attracted to a child. He had photos of children, you know, like taped or tied to tables. Like, he was sexualizing children all over his Instagram page. You know, at his pizza shop, which was Comet Ping Pong, he had bands play at his pizza shop that would promote pedophilia, just like Chrissy Teigen. They'd be on stage, like, talking about raping kids, talking about sacrificing kids, laughing about it. And I could go on and on and on. And so what happened is, that is an aspect of the story, but it's not like the true definition of what Pizzagate is or the primary definition of it, right?
Right.
So, but I will say that Comet Ping Pong did become the center of Pizzagate because of the redefining of Pizzagate, but also because there was so much evidence that there was pedophilia and sex trafficking tied to this restaurant online. I mean, it was just so blatant, just like actually probably worse than the Podesta emails. So what happened next is they used a patsy to shoot up Comet Ping Pong, and they claim that this guy, you know, believed Pizzagate was real and then got violent and walked into Comet Ping Pong and decided to shoot it up. And guess what? He didn't shoot anyone. The only thing that was shot was the server that allegedly had child porn on it, by the way. And somehow the door was closed and the bullet managed to go through the office door into the server, destroying the server.
Right.
And that's it. And then fast forward to, I believe, a year and a half ago, the patsy that was used to shoot up Comet Ping Pong to make people like me seem crazy and violent. You better not believe Pizzagate, because, you know, this is what it leads to. This is the violence it leads to. So the patsy that shot up Pizzagate, destroying the alleged child porn on the server, just happens to be killed by cops a year and a half ago in a routine traffic stop. So, you know, riddle me that.
Right. Cover up your patsy. Right. This is how it works, whether it's some sort of MK Ultra mind controlled guy that they pull out of the woodwork to go and shoot up a server and to perpetuate this story. And then Liz Crokin is nuts, right? Because this whole story was about a pizza shop, not about the larger email scandal and the connections to the Clintons and all of that. So I just want to go back to Hillary Clinton here and the Podesta connection here and her assistant emailing, arranging with this, you know, this porn website and where people could log in, I guess, and make their selections. I mean, how does this connect to Hillary Clinton? I mean, have you seen direct evidence where direct emails back and forth, there's a paper trail where she knows that this is happening?
Well, we don't even need to look at the emails to prove that she knows this is happening. We can go as far back as to when she was Secretary of State. And actually, the mainstream media, specifically Chuck Todd, reported about how there was pedophilia at the State Department when she was running it.
Right.
And that she actively covered it up. So, you know, we don't even have to look at the DNC or Podesta emails to know that she has covered up pedophilia and sex trafficking in the past. But what I do know is that the Clinton Foundation is involved in child sex trafficking. Anthony Weiner's laptop has evidence on it that proves that Hillary Clinton is directly involved in child sex trafficking and crimes against children. And when I say evidence, videos and photos. This was something that the NYPD investigated in 2016. This is something I covered myself in 2016. I had sources I talked to that knew what these NYPD detectives saw. And there was evidence proving that Hillary Clinton was actively committing crimes against children on this laptop, and not just her, many of her associates, including Uma Abedin. Anthony Weiner kept all this evidence, and allegedly he filed it in a folder called Life Insurance. And all that case that the NYPD wanted to act on was then taken over by James Comey and the FBI. And to this day, nothing has come of it. However, in 2018, the Inspector General's report on that case documented how the evidence on the Anthony Weiner laptop did prove that both Hillary Clinton and her foundation were involved in crimes against children. And you guys can go online today and pull up that IG report and say that on page 297, it says just that. So there's a ton of different examples of how Hillary Clinton is involved with child sex trafficking. And I could go on and on and talk about, you know, how her and Bill, you know, managed to free Laura Silsby, who was arrested for attempting to traffic 33 children out of Haiti. You know, or we can talk about the State Department, what they did with CPS. I mean, there's so much evidence. I've written a whole article just on the Clintons alone and their ties to sex trafficking. But we have an official inspector's general report that is a government document that years ago cited that she indeed is involved in crimes against children, and so is the Clinton Foundation. And what the Clinton Foundation really was just a front for child sex trafficking. And so we know that she's involved with child sex trafficking. We know the Clinton Foundation is used as a front for child sex trafficking. So it should be no surprise that Ghislaine Maxwell and Jeffrey Epstein both have said on the record that they were involved in the Clinton Foundation. They were co-founders of the Clinton Foundation, and they were exchanging money between themselves and the Clinton Foundation. So Pizzagate is not just Hillary Clinton and John Podesta. It's also Jeffrey Epstein, Ghislaine Maxwell, and all their co-conspirators and clients.
Right.
And always has been, by the way.
And a lot of this was allowed to run rampant. I've seen some partisan Instagram reels where they're like, Obama's not in the Epstein, so he's in the clear. Yay, we can keep loving him. He's so great. His lead counsel is offering Jeffrey Epstein emails with Boss, so we can infer something. And also the fact that his Justice Department allowed him to run rampant for 8 full years. That's 8 years of victims. And so we can't make a direct connection between Obama. Maybe you can, but as far as I, you can do it. Okay. Yeah, go.
So I think this came, I think this email came out from WikiLeaks, from the Global Intelligence files, but there was one email that talked about how Barack Obama threw a private party in the White House using the taxpayers' dollar, and they shipped $65,000 worth of pizza and hot dogs from Chicago using clandestine channels.
Okay.
So again, like, if it really was just pizza and hot dogs, like, how big is the White House? Like, what pizza would cost $65,000? What hot dogs would cost $65,000? Like, when you go to a ball at the White House, there's going to be maybe a couple hundred people there, if that. Like, you know, a few hundred hot dogs should never amount to $65,000, and either should pizza. So, you know, now knowing that pizza is a confirmed pedophile code word, and so is hot dogs, what was that transaction really about? Because I can promise it wasn't about pizza and hot dogs in terms of the food.
And then in the this is conjecture, I'm just trying to connect dots, but like, so then it would make sense that Obama's personal chef might know something about food who dies mysteriously. That's just a question. I'm just a valid question. So
my thoughts on that is that what we learned from the Epstein files, they're strongly implying in these files that they're cannibals, that they're eating children. There's lots of references to them, you know, not just references that suggest that they're raping children, but also references that suggest that they're cannibals and they're eating children.
By the way, the term jerky,
like a lot of people believe that means human skin. But, you know, we start off this episode talking about Chrissy Teigen. She has gone on the record and openly talked about how she wants to eat human meat. There are a lot of elites don't even hide it. Like, some of them brag about how they're cannibals or there was a whole docuseries that came out about Armie Hammer, and he openly talked to people about how he was a cannibal. He would date girls and like brag about how like he likes to eat human meat. He actually asked one of his girlfriends if she would remove a rib so he could eat it, and he said that he was actually looking for a surgeon that would do it. Some of them like don't even hide it, but
Chrissy Teigen's on camera. asking John, like, wouldn't you, if you had like pieces of meat, of human meat, wouldn't you just try pieces of it? Wouldn't you like that? And he's like, no. I mean, I don't know where he comes
from. She said it multiple times. So now that we know that these, and then also we forgot to talk about how in the Podesta emails, we learned that they're spirit cooking. And spirit cooking is a satanic ritual that they engage in where they mix blood, breast milk and urine. I mean, it's absolutely disgusting. There's a satanic witch named Marina Abramovic there's videos and photographs of her with all kinds of different celebrities from Jay-Z to Will Ferrell. And in the emails, we learned that John Podesta and friends are involved in spirit cooking dinners because Marina emailed them about going to her spirit cooking dinner. So when you look up Marina Abramovic and spirit cooking, you see them at these satanic ritualistic dinners where they're literally depicting cannibalism. And, you know, they make it seem like they're not really eating human meat, but I don't buy that. I think that those pictures that we see online of them eating a cake that looks like a human, it probably has some kind of human meat in it because we know that they're cannibals. And we got way more evidence of that in the Epstein files that were just released. So what I have noticed a pattern is that a lot of these elite chefs die in very suspicious circumstances. Well, I'm confident that Barack Obama is involved in child sex trafficking, probably cannibalism as well. And his chef died in a totally suspicious circumstance. And then we had Anthony Bourdain die in suspicious circumstances. I believe there was another chef for Bill Clinton that died in like suspicious circumstances. And so if you think about it, it kind of makes sense. If these chefs are being asked, or maybe they're being forced to cook human meat, and if they are running the risk of exposing them, then of course they're going to get rid of them. That's what they do. I mean, there's dozens of reporters that have tried to expose this who have been murdered. The fact that I'm still here is actually, you know, a miracle. And by the way, they've tried. I mean,
I was going to ask you, what sort of threats have you had and from where did they come?
In 2016, the first crazy thing that they did to me was they poisoned my dog, but I believe that they broke into my house and I have evidence to support that and reason to believe that, but they broke into my house and they poisoned food in my fridge. And it was only the only food I had in my fridge, which was chicken. What they didn't realize is that the chicken wasn't for me. It was for my dog. So my dog ate it. And then, you know, shortly after that went into anaphylactic shock and almost died. I was able to get him to the animal hospital quickly enough to save his life. And then a few months later, I'm meeting with a few producers that claim that they're interested in doing a Pizzagate documentary with me. This was in 2017. And I meet with them in California in Santa Monica. We're having lunch and we were very obviously followed. Like, obviously, like they were letting us know that we were being followed. There's three guys like casing us when we were eating lunch. You know, I felt that they were trying to intimidate us. Anyways, long story short, that night I got baited to go to this restaurant for dinner from someone who I believe was my friend. Next thing I know, I'm pretty sure I was drugged and I was being roughed up by cops and thrown in a cop car and I'm arrested at a five-star restaurant. And honestly, I was fine. And the next thing I know, I'm in a jail cell and these cops come in and they basically are telling me, you know why you're really here. And I just met with these people to do the documentary. So, you know, and so I know that those were just rogue cops and that they were telling me, you know why you're really here. And they were basically were saying like, don't do the documentary at Pizzagate, shut up, you know?
Wow.
And after that, I just fled the country, you know, and by the way, I had a liberal lawyer at the time who didn't even necessarily believe Pizzagate was real. And like, got all the police records and everything from that case. And he's like, I was literally walking out of the restaurant into an Uber. And next thing I'm just arrested. Like, it made no sense. And even my lawyer was like, I've never heard of anything like this. This makes no sense. He's like, I definitely think that you were targeted. And I was. And so I had to leave the country. And so a lot of the ways that they've messed with me, though, is they send these agents into my life to target me, to harass me. They try to convince me to stop covering Pizzagate. They just try to disrupt my life. They've had people very dangerous people moving next door to me, above me, and they will just terrorize me, like knock on my door in the middle of the night, break into my place or break into my rooftop, keep me up all night. I had a sex trafficking ring moving next door to me. The police wouldn't do anything, so I had to flee that apartment. I mean, it's just literally nonstop terrorism and targeted harassment, which has made my life an absolute like living nightmare for 10 years now. Hacking my account constantly, shutting down all my businesses, all my online stores. I was banned from every social media platform. I was fired from multiple jobs. I mean, anything that they can do to disrupt my life, they'll do it. They've paid off lawyers that have worked for me. They've paid off doctors. I mean, they've paid off so many different people to sabotage anything that I'm involved in or working on.
That's crazy thing that you're saying, because if they're doing this, that's within the pale. Right. But now there's no point in doing this to you now that it's out there and provable. You can't put this horse back in the barn. So what are they going to do?
What I'm hoping for.
Well, but I mean, also the money is, I mean, because you went after, it's not just the sex trafficking piece of this and like their pleasure. It's very, very lucrative, as we've covered here on the show, right? Billions of dollars. So what you're going after is not just the pleasure side of it. It's their money. And that's still very much in jeopardy, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, well, and here's the thing. If you understand how sex trafficking works, sex traffickers make so much more money than drug traffickers and drug dealers. And the reason why is because you can use a child or, you know, or maybe it's adults are sex trafficked too, by the way. So maybe it's a child or a woman, or maybe it's a grown adult, a man. That person can be trafficked like several times a day, and they can reuse them over and over again. Whereas if you're selling, you know, weed or cocaine or whatever it is, like, you can't reuse it over and over and over again. So they make way more money off of sex trafficking than they do with drug trafficking and arms trafficking and other kinds of trafficking. And if I would have to quantify how much money was used to try to silence me, or has been used actually to silence me and shut me down, I would say it's easily been in the tens of millions of dollars. Easily. Easily.
Maybe we can unpack now the Epstein files piece of this, because two Fridays ago when these files started coming out, I mean, it was validation of much of course, what you've been reporting over the years, and you're vilified for it, of course. But what were some of the immediate pieces that you saw in the Epstein files that you said, aha, here's the connection I've been looking for?
Well, I mean, number one, I would say it would be the use of the word pizza. They were just like in the Podesta emails, they're using pizza in a context that clearly does not apply to food. And a lot of those emails, they're making references that are sexual. So you know that not only are they not talking about food, they're talking about something that's sexual. And when I read those emails, I realized like these emails are more damning actually than the Podesta emails, because there's so much more. And there's so many more references to pizza in those emails than there are in the Podesta emails. What I also learned is that they use other food words, some food words that I have never seen before, by the way. But what I believe happened in 2016 is when people like me start talking about how pizza is a pedophile code word, I believe that they started using new food code words as pedophile code words. And so I think some of these code words that were seen that came later from the emails that were being like maybe 2018, 2017, 2019, are new code words, because at that point in time, there were too many, you know, pesky reporters like me saying pizza's pedophile code word. But so, you know, obviously the pizza stuff, but you know, in some of those emails, they make it clear that they're involved in killing people, murdering people, raping people, trafficking people. There's one email that talks about like sacrificing people and babies. I mean, it's just the most horrific stuff you've ever read. And a lot of those emails, they talk about horrific things they're doing, not in code. So, and they also talk about very young children. You know, some of these children were only 9 years old.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Or even less. I mean, one of the more disturbing bits for me is the Mark Tramo emails, the UCLA neurologist who was advising on how to get babies to suck harder on pacifiers. And UCLA has him still teaching college students, has stood by him.
I heard that they're not going to renew his contract. There was
but they did not fire him. They, like, he's still there the rest of the semester, you know, around
children. It's a right to work state, right, in California. So you can, it's almost impossible to fire anybody in that state, right? Yeah. Even if they're pedophiles and they're telling, oh, it's awful.
Yeah. It's validating my disdain for academia and choice to keep my children away from it.
It's disgusting.
When you think about the smoke, I mean, there's a lot of smoke in these emails. When you're looking at these 3 million, and of course, Congressman Massey, who's been on the show, and Ro Khanna, they're, you know, actively working on trying to get these names unredacted, which they did yesterday, some of them, but not all of them. Where do you think there's fire to be seen that we haven't yet seen in these emails? Some dots that, or pieces that you've been connecting that heretofore we haven't seen yet in your research?
Well, I mean, if you want to, I'm happy to name names, because people have the name names. I don't know if you saw this, but it came out today that they redacted Les Wexner's name. And as a co-conspirator. Yeah. Now, that's not a surprise. That's not a shock, because we know that he was in very deep with Epstein. Epstein was controlling all his money, and he ran L Brands and Victoria's Secret, and Jeffrey Epstein was involved in that. And he was using Victoria's Secret as a front to traffic children and young women. But there are other names. There are a lot of names that Virginia Giuffre has exposed. And a lot of those names actually have come out via court records over the years. And she repeated some of those names in her book, Nobody's Girl, which came out last year. So another name that she exposed, I'll give you two right now. One was former Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Barak. Mm-hmm. And she actually named him in a court record years ago. And then in her book, she didn't name him, but if you put the pieces together, it's very obvious she's talking about him, because she says that he's a head of state, you know, of a foreign country. And the way that she talked about him in the deposition is very similar to the way that she talks about him in the book. And she did say she didn't name him in her book because she believed it was too dangerous and that her life would be a danger if she did name him in the book. And sure enough, she ended up dying a suspicious death, but she exposed him. And then another name that I've talked about a lot would be the Hyatt Hotels chairman, Tom Pritzker. Now, Tom Pritzker, he is the cousin of Governor J.B. Pritzker in Illinois. The Pritzker family is big on the transgenderism.
Yes. Jennifer Bielek is someone who's been going after the Pritzkers for years, and she is an amazing journalist and talking about how, like, humanistic and transhumanistic perversion is their thing. Absolutely.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, that's a whole nother tangent to the Pizzagate saga, right? And what we learned, or I actually just got confirmed from the Epstein files, is that, you know, Epstein was, the trafficking is just one piece of the puzzle. Epstein was involved in all different kinds of crazy stuff. He was involved with MIT. He was involved in scientists. He was involved with the pandemic or plandemic, whatever you want to call it. He was involved in crazy kind of Dr. Mengele kind of human experiments, DNA experiments, breeding. I believe that he wanted to have a baby breeding farm at Zora Ranch. I believe he accomplished it. I believe he probably has a bunch of children already. And they also were big on transgenderism and pushing the transgender agenda. Well, why are they big on pushing the transgender agenda? Well, these people are Satanists. They worship Satan. Epstein had a bank account that he named Baal. Well, why would he do that? Because he worships Baal. Now, what is transgenderism? Well, when you have someone that's a boy pretending to be a girl or vice versa, then you're promoting the Baphomet agenda, which is like half boy, half girl. And that's what they believe in. That's what they worship. They worship these creepy gods that are like half female and half male. So it's no surprise that these Satanists that rape children are pushing the transgender agenda. And the Pritzker family has used so much of their money to push the transgender agenda. But getting back to Tom Pritzker, again, the cousin of Governor J.B. Pritzker, he is the chairman of the Hyatt Hotels. And he was listed in Epstein's Black Book as numero uno. And Virginia Giuffre accused him of being one of his clients / co-conspirators and said that he was one of the men that raped her. And we have more evidence of him being close with Epstein from the emails that were released two Fridays ago. So that's another name that's not really talked about a lot, but you know, I believe that he wasn't just a co-conspirator. I believe he was labeled numero uno because he was his numero uno, either client or co-conspirator or maybe both.
Oh, I guess finally, Liz, you saw also that the revelations you were talking about Zorro Ranch and like the baby farming, basically. And you saw that as the FBI was about to start their investigation, he had ordered 55 gallons of sulfuric acid, which the only reason, I mean, I don't know why else you would use sulfuric acid other than to dissolve bones and to hide any kind of evidence. And there's people speculating about that, that he may have been using that to dissolve bodies at the Zorro Ranch or on the Epstein Island. What do you think that was involved, used for?
Yeah, of course they were killing people. Of course they were killing victims. They openly talked about it in their emails, how they were killing people and torturing people as well. So that's another component. It wasn't just raping children. They also loved torturing these kids, and they get off on that. So I do believe that acid was used to you know, get rid of the remains of a lot of their victims. What we also now know for a fact is there was an underground facility at Zorro Ranch and on the island. And when Epstein got wind that the FBI was investigating him back, I believe it was in 2019 or maybe 2018, he ordered also, in addition to the sulfuric acid, a ton of cement, like hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of cement and a cement truck. And now we know for a fact, because the files also confirm, that there were underground tunnels at the island. So I believe that he was filling up the tunnels to cover the evidence, which probably includes the remains of some of the victims. And guess what? That's the same exact thing they did with the McMartin preschool. Do you remember the McMartin preschool scandal?
Where no, I don't. That preschool?
So this was happening in California, in one of the beach towns. And this was labeled, this was a really famous case where there was a preschool where a bunch of these, you know, creepy people were running this preschool, and a bunch of the children came out and they said that they were being trafficked underneath the preschool, and they were being trafficked in a tunnel underneath the preschool to a church where local politicians and celebrities and elites were raping them and also committing satanic rituals on them and satanic ritualistic abuse. And they weren't able to convict the people running the preschool because they couldn't. One of the reasons why they weren't able to convict them, because they couldn't find evidence of the tunnels or evidence of the satanic rituals. Well, what they ended up doing is covering up the tunnels and all the evidence with cement. And then years later, I believe it was in 2018 or 2019, the FBI released and declassified a bunch of records proving that there were tunnels underneath the McMartin preschool, and that they did find evidence of satanic rituals. So they found like pentagrams and animal bones, and the kids said that they were sacrificing animals and stuff like that. Oh. So it's the same thing that they did to cover up the McMartin preschool. Epstein did it on, or attempted to do it on, his island.
If I can just ask one more question, I'm sorry. Because I'm trying to make this connection of like, what was his grand plan? What was his dream? So to be making these babies and breeding sex slaves, basically. Mm-hmm. And then in the other context, it's let's create a business around sex tourism, where, and he was asking for advice. How do we get around local legislation so that someone can just go on a wild sex vacation and have full access to sex slaves? Can we put those together, that the idea was we'd have sex tourism where you go somewhere and have full access to fully bred sex slaves? That is that, can we make that leap?
Yeah, I say we can. And I would also throw in there, well, what was Ghislaine Maxwell involved in? She was involved in Terramar. And like Terramar was supposed to be, you know, that they owned and controlled the oceans, and they were, like, it was supposed to be like some new, you know, it's not a continent because it was the ocean, but like they believed that they were citizens of like this new land there, this new world that they were trying to create. And it was called Terramar. And I believe that they wanted to get rid of as many of the good people in the world as they could, so they could turn this planet into just their playground to rape, torture, and traffic children. And we also know that, you know, Epstein believed him and his friends were superior, that they had superior genes, they were a superior race. They openly talked about that as well in their emails. And so I think part of the reason why he wanted to have a baby breeding farm is because he believed that he and his friends' DNA was better. And so, and that this planet should just be ruled and filled with people that are like him. So that's one of the reasons why he wanted to have baby. I mean, could you imagine if they were able to succeed in doing this, you know, and I'm, and
well, it seems like they got pretty close.
Yeah. And how many, and like, how many descendants?
And we don't know where it stands now because this dream does not die with Epstein, clearly. Mm-mm.
No. And honestly, this is such a pivotal point in history, not just for Americans, for mankind, honestly, for humanity, because now the world is learning that we truly are controlled and enslaved by demons who rape, torture, and traffic children, and also commit satanic rituals on them and sacrifice them. So we are slaves. We are controlled by them. So if these people are not eliminated, if they are not taken care of, if they do not get the justice that they deserve, I don't see how we can ever progress as a human race, as a society, if we can't do the most basic thing, which is protect the innocent children and animals, then we're screwed. And so, you know, it's a very pivotal point. And I think that as many people as possible, we just all need to band together and demand justice, because this is not sustainable. People are awake now. They know what's going on, and people are not going to tolerate seeing these people fly around in their jets, going to the Super Bowl, people like Jay-Z, when they know what they're doing to children. So something has to give, you know, either Trump's administration, his DOJ, or the military, they're going to have to take action, because if they don't, I do believe at some point, good people are going to start taking justice in their own hands. And that's when it could get really ugly, and it could turn into not just a civil war, a global war.
Yeah, because it is international. And of course, the New York Times would have you believe that Jeffrey Epstein was emblematic of a bygone era. Now that Jeffrey Epstein is gone, this massive sex trafficking interoperation around the globe, all over period. With now. It's just something from the past.
Yeah, no, yeah. That's not
it's
happening.
Absurd. Though. It's ludicrous.
There's definitely still, you know, under Biden, there was like hundreds of thousands missing kids that he actively trafficked using our taxpayer. So it hasn't ended, but you know, the good news is people finally know it's real. People are waking up in droves. And I truly have always believed that that needed to happen first before there's justice.
Well, here we go.
I agree.
Well, thank you, Liz, for standing in your truth. You are you're a trailblazer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, well, we want to have you on because, I mean, really the OG and the person where all of this started with all of your great research on this. So, you know, in all of that you've been through and being fired and tortured and tracked and everything thrown into cop cars. Finally, we get these documents, which is validation. So thank you for your incredible work, Liz.
Guys, and thank you for covering this and having me on, and I hope you stay on it. We all need to stay on it until these people are arrested. We can't let this one go, you know.
No, absolutely, 100%. We're not going anywhere, so awesome. We will be here. Liz, thank you so much. Great to have you on the show.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Liz, and incredible journalism. So please follow Liz on social media and support her
that
work.
Was heavy,
very like, heavy,
incredibly upset.
Oh, I need multiple showers, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think the next time I actually go get actual pizza, like real pizza, I think I'm going to have to live stream the entire thing to prove that what I did.
Just getting pizza.
You're eating real pizza.
Just getting pizza.
And these people
we
are
need
sick.
A new word for that dish. Can we come up with something else?
I don't know. And when you watch the Oscars, you see all these people, you see like Jay-Z at the Super Bowl. It's like, it's hard not to look at these people. You're like, you guys are all disgusting.
Yeah.
Ricky Gervais was right when he ripped all of you apart at the Golden Globes and called you all disgusting perverts. Like, those were his words. He's like, you're all perverts in this room.
Yeah.
Like, he was absolutely right. He knew something.
But we protect each other by knowing this truth, right? So we got to stick together at this point and say, no more of this. No more. So,
we'll wrap things up in a second here on the show. But first,
we want to tell you about our friends over at American Financing, because let's be honest, finances are extremely hard right now with everything so expensive. The grocery bills, insurance premiums, now skyrocketing utility costs. Even with a steady job, more families are being forced to rely on high interest credit card to cover expenses. If you're a homeowner caught in that cycle, carrying balances with interest rates in the 20s, 20s or 30s, it's time to find some relief. You can do that with our friends over at American Financing, because they can teach you to leverage your home equity to build wealth instead of continue to bury yourself in debt inside the red, as they say. They have salary-based mortgage consultants that don't just push loans. They build exit strategies from debt. On average, they save their customers $800 a month. Plus, if you start today, you may even delay the next two mortgage payments. No upfront fees or obligations. So find out how much you can save by learning this tactic. Let American Financing teach you. Call them at 866-890-8434 or head on over to AmericanFinancing.net/redacted. One more time, that's AmericanFinancing.net/redacted. If you're interested in their NMLS number, you can look it up on NMLSConsumerAccess.org, and the number is 182-334. Again, learn more, AmericanFinancing.net/redacted.
Well, early onset dementia and Alzheimer's are on the rise. Reports show a 373% increase in diagnoses among 30 to 44-year-olds and a 311% increase in 45 to 54-year-olds in the United States in recent years. And when doctors treat brain disease, they often focus on medicating the brain itself, addressing symptoms instead of the root cause, which is chronic inflammation and oxidative stress. These factors damage brain cells, lead to the buildup of toxic proteins, the hallmark of Alzheimer's disease. But like much of the body, many brain issues trace right back to the gut microbiome, right in your gut. And there's a direct communication line between your gut and your brain. And that's why what you eat matters so much. Kimchi contains over 900 probiotic strains, and studies show its bioactive compounds help reduce inflammation, protect brain cells, and even improve memory and cognitive function by preventing amyloid beta plaque buildup. That's why Brightcore created Kimchi One, because a lot of people don't like the taste of kimchi. You know, they don't have that South Korean diet taste. So Kimchi One, you get the benefits of it in a supplement without the taste. If you don't like it, no taste, no smell, virtually no sodium, made in the USA and non-GMO. I take it every day, and you can too, and you get 25% off your first order by just going to mybrightcore.com/redacted if you just go to the website. But the best part is you'll get 50% off if you call them. They'd love to actually develop a personal relationship with their customers. Imagine that in America, a personal relationship. Call them 888-404-6312. You get 50% off your order. That's right. So right now, Kimchi One from Brightcore. Health starts in the gut. All right. Well, that was a heavy show. And, you know, I want to thank all of you for your support of the show and covering these topics, because, you know, these are the things the mainstream media totally ignores. Again, they would just rather talk about Bad Bunny halftime shows.
Myself included. I don't give a shit about the halftime show, you know, culture war. But yeah, I didn't want to talk about that. But I'm more upset than ever. But at the same time, again, we're committed to, you know, knowing the truth so that we can stop this happening.
Yeah, absolutely. Our kids are the most important part of our entire world. And if we can't protect them, we've completely lost the narrative here. So thank you guys so much for subscribing to the show, being a part of Redacted every day. We'll be back tomorrow at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. Have a great night, everyone.